Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. He is a 28-year kitchen industry veteran with experience in design, project management, sales, and marketing. His grandfather, an iceman in upstate New York, opened the first refrigerator sales showroom in Herkimer County. He attended Dartmouth College and holds a BA in environmental design from the University of Colorado. In 2006, a fortuitous meeting created a new business partnership. He and his new business partner opened the doors to a showroom in the village of Old Greenwich, Connecticut, where they're still located today. He recognized a need for superior full-service client experience, so he rebranded his business in June of 2015. Now they create one-of-a-kind kitchens, baths, and home designs that stand out with unique characteristics that exude the client's lifestyle and personality. He's a very busy man making the world more beautiful. Chuck Wheelock, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thanks a lot, James. I'm really happy to be here.
It's great to have you with us today, Chuck, and I want you to take us back because I think the story sounds rather interesting. What was it like for you falling in love with the world of design for the first time?
Well, like you said, I've been doing it for a long time. I like to say that I've been doing it for over 25 years instead of nearly 30 years because it helps me sound younger.
Smart man.
So I've had a great deal of experience. I began working in the kitchen industry for my cousin in Newport, Rhode Island, where we represented Woodmote and Pogonpole. I left there and moved to New York City, where I worked for Smallbone when they first came to the U.S., and that was a great experience in a high-end luxury brand. I left Smallbone with a number of other people. We founded Christopher Peacock Kitchens. After that, I worked with the British designer Johnny Gray, who you may have heard of.
Sure.
I did a stint. I was importing cabinets from the south of France for Detange Cabinetry. But I think that the when I look back, I think my introduction to the world of design, the sort of the watershed moment for me was the 2008 Met Home Showtime Show House, where Johnny Gray and I got to design the kitchen, and the designers that participated were like the pantheon of top interior design. Jamie Drake had a room, Vicente Wolf had a room, Amy Lau, Laura Carrar, that's where I first met Darren Varden, and it was just such a great experience to share with these designers and to see them every day, see their work. And then later, you know, have a good time at all the parties too. So that was a great introduction.
What a fabulous opportunity. And you're right, surrounded by some of the biggest names in the business.
Right.
Now, how did that then impact your business? Because at that point, you were just establishing your showroom. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. So, you know, unfortunately, 2008 was a very difficult year. So the timing of it all was rather unfortunate. It was a tough time, but I guess, you know, because we were small and didn't have a lot of overhead, we were well positioned to get through all that. But you know what that experience gave us, and what we set out from the very beginning to do, was to be different than all the other kitchen showrooms. We really did try to set out from the beginning to produce designs that were very individual for each of our clients. And I think when you take a look at our website, you a lot of people comment like, it looks great, but we didn't see anything that we really liked. And that's really because each kitchen is highly personally designed for that individual. So there's strange, quirky things or combinations of materials and colors that 9 out of 10 people may not like, but that one individual just absolutely loves. And we hear from our clients all the time that how much they love their kitchens.
It is a very personal room, much like the bath in the house. I mean, it's very much about who I am, if I were the client, or who the client is. What's your process of investigating and exploring and coming to understand what it is that makes that client tick and what it is that's going to make their client or their kitchen particularly meaningful to them?
Well, it's a process of communication. And we help them sort of go step by step through this journey. And we start out with a very detailed program, almost like a questionnaire, but it's several conversations to find out a lot about them individually. What they're really passionate about. We try to see what kind of art they collect, what kind of cars they drive, how they like to dress, what their passions are in sports and music and all these kinds of things, trying to find what it is that they really care a lot about, and then trying to make that, we want that design to express those things. And we will start with schematic designs, because there's always several solutions to that individual space. And in this sort of, do you like this? Do you like that? Suggesting these different schematic designs, we get closer and closer to the one solution that they like best. And then once that has been sort of agreed to, we start developing the details. And that's where we start working on. We oftentimes will design a door style specifically for that project. It'll be a new door style that had never been done before. We'll have cutters made so we can cut those shapes. We work with all kinds of interesting finishes of different kinds. We will present these to our clients in a very curated kind of a setting. When you see our showroom, James, it's very different than other showrooms. There aren't a lot of pieces of hardware or doors or paint colors, things all over the walls. It almost looks like the actual setting in someone's home. It's a working studio. You can tell it's a creative place. It's almost like walking into, say, a Walt Disney studio while they're working. There's a lot of energy going on with these designs, and people really get excited about that.
Now, do you ever find that you have someone walk in the door and they have in their head a very clear idea of the kitchen they think they want, but as you do your research and explore, you discover that maybe that isn't the right thing for them? What is that like for you?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question, because that's what happens quite often. And a lot of people have done their research. It's great that people are far more aware of design of kitchens and design in general. They're far more knowledgeable. But oftentimes that translates into copying what they see. And they'll bring pictures they've taken out of magazines, or they'll have pins on Pinterest or, Instagram, and they've loaded up all these pictures of kitchens they like. But they don't make the jump from looking at, like, what are the elements? They don't break down the elements. What is it about this kitchen that appeals to me? All they can say is that they like it. And therefore, they're thinking initially, they just want to copy that look. We really break those things down and direct them to, again, make it a very individualized space, and try to get people to look beyond what they're seeing now, what might be trendy right now, and try to make something that is a contemporary kitchen that's going to suit their needs and their emotions not just from now, but further into the future, something they're going to be very happy to share with friends and families. And, you know, they oftentimes get that wow factor when a person first walks into their kitchen, they see some dramatic feature hood or some, you know, each wall you look at is, we try to create this visual focus where sort of a jaw dropping, like, wow, that's amazing. How did that happen? So whenever we can get people to sort of move on beyond just what they see, sort of the HGTV quick hit kind of thing. That's the kind of client that we usually work with.
Nice. That must be a thrilling process for them.
I'd like to think so.
Well, it sounds like it. Not an easy one.
No.
That certainly takes some work on both parties' side. Yep. But clearly, the rewards are worth it. What kitchens are you working on right now that you're really excited about, Chuck?
Well, we have, happily, we have some we're just starting one of our busy seasons in the kitchen industry, and we have some new projects that we're very excited about. There is a project that we're going to get to use some very interesting materials. This particular kitchen, we're working with a Italian custom cooking manufacturer called Giulio from Florence, and we're having a large custom range manufactured, and it combines two huge ovens. This particular client does not cook very much, but Thanksgiving is very important to them, and they have Thanksgiving down to a almost a science. And she cooks two 23-pound turkeys and one 15-pound turkey, and we discovered that this manufacturer had the largest oven capacity for this type of an appliance, and so we have two of their large ovens going in there, the top configuration, the way the whole thing is, it's almost like making a custom car, the experience that you have. It's very exciting. And because of the mix of the materials there, we are going to be putting a very distinctive and unique feature hood above that. So we've been meeting with our metal workers and talking about metal finishes. We're very excited about that. And the layout of the whole space is interesting because they are interested in a very contemporary, almost modern design. And yet, because it's in Greenwich, Connecticut, and the neighborhood it's in, it still needs to have a bit of a transitional feel. So it's challenging, but it's very exciting to try to resolve all these different kinds of design styles into one kitchen.
Wow.
We have another project that I'm very excited about. It's on the other end of the scale, and we have to, in this case, be very mindful of the budget. It's a young family. It's their first home. They are considering some very dramatic remodeling on the inside of the space to create a very large open space. They're trying to pack a lot of things into this little space. But it's very exciting to bring all that design and experience to them, work with a budget, and provide them that same kind of wow factor, be able to give them the same kind of, knowing that when it's all done, they're going to be very excited and happy with their kitchen and yet still, you know, work within their budget. So we're very excited about that too. I think one of the most exciting things for this year is that we have two interior designers that we're working with, and we're going to be putting some displays into their showrooms, and they are somewhat kitchen-like. When all the doors are open, you'll see clearly that inside it'll have a coffee maker, a sink and dishwasher, a wine refrigerator, things like that. It's sort of a hospitality-like space. But when the doors are all closed, and most of the storage is for the interior designer's purposes and for some of the vendors that they represent. So we're very excited to be a part of the development of these two new showrooms and having our product inside that showroom with these top designers.
Wow, very exciting indeed.
Yeah,
congratulations. We'll have to watch your website for news when all of that is up and ready. Will we see photographs?
We'll make sure you get sent an invitation, James. We want to make sure you're there. Yeah, for sure.
Good.
We
will, that'd be definitely. Great fun. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be great fun. And we'll make sure that our listeners know about that, too. You've had an amazing career, Chuck. You've got many, many more years ahead. We're excited to follow all the great things that you are doing.
Thank you.
But when you look at your career, talk to us a little bit about what it is that you think is the best part of what you get to do.
Well, there's a lot of things that I really like. I'm still very old school. I do all drawings by hand in the beginning. It's sort of a process of thinking while I'm drawing. There's almost a zen-like feeling that I get, almost like going fishing while I'm doing that drawing. It puts me into a certain state, and I really enjoy that. But I think perhaps the one thing that I like the best is when a client expresses how happy they are with their new kitchen or their new space. I just recently, this week, got a text message from a client. We had done his kitchen years ago, and at that time, the design had a table in the center of the kitchen. And then last year, he asked if we could build an island for him there. So, we had a lot of fun with it. He let us work with some steel. He's a bachelor, and we did a James Bond of island design for this guy. It has hot rolled steel legs, very sleek design, very architectural detailing about the way the countertop relates to these legs. So it was a really good looking design. But he wrote to me this week, and he said in that text that the island had totally changed his life. And you know, I thought he was just kind of pulling my leg. So I had to ask him what he meant by that. And you know, I said, could you elaborate? And he just said that the island completely changed the way he used his house. He works at the island there. He entertains. He comes home after working in New York and just chills out for dinner. Inside, he keeps his food processor and blender right by where the refrigerator is, so it's never been so useful for him before. And he emphasizes that he's no more than 5 minutes away from margaritas and pico de gallo. and he said, quite honestly, that it's his favorite spot in the world.
Wow.
So that is just really, that's the greatest reward.
I should say so. It doesn't get better than that.
Right.
Nice, nice. Nice. Good design can change lives.
That's right.
I say it around here a lot.
That's right.
I really do. Well, so Chuck, let's be practical, because we know all of life is not all, you know, excitement and on the upside of things. There are challenges. So if you flip that coin over, talk to us about the challenges associated with what you do. And when you meet those challenges, how do you navigate through them?
Well, we kind of talked about that a little bit before we touched on that. I think one of our greatest challenges is getting clients to take design risks. One of my clients expressed it very well. He said, Chuck, who is this design mafia who says that my kitchen has to look like all my friends' kitchen, and has to look like my neighbor's kitchen? And that's very true. People are oftentimes very concerned about a resale value. Who's going to be the next person who is going to be buying our house and buying the kitchen? They feel very concerned about selecting the things that other person is going to like, not so much the things that they like for right now. So we really try to keep them directed in that way. Mm. And we talked about that progression of communication to try to introduce these new ideas to them, get them to buy into these things that are uniquely their own. And sometimes we really do. That particular person I mentioned that talked about the design mafia had a very interesting, different kitchen that had two large, freestanding, almost armoire-like walnut cabinets. It combined a lot of appliances into one sort of furniture-like unit, and these two things stood across the room from each other. It didn't look like a kitchen at all. It just looked like a well-decorated, almost, it was a very modern design and very formal, everything lined up on center lines and things like that. Mm-hmm. But he came in thinking he was going to have a Christmas in Connecticut white kitchen. And went completely the other way through the experience. So that's wow. One of our biggest challenges is trying to get people to act individually instead of following the crowd.
Well, maybe springboarding off of that thought, I want you to speak to our listeners at home. Many of them are working on creating beauty in their own homes, maybe creating the most beautiful kitchen that they can create on their own. Share some tips, some words of wisdom to those people, and what would you say to them to help them create their most perfect kitchen?
Well, I keep saying it, but really be individual and don't simply copy the design trends. I think the other thing I'd like to emphasize is that oftentimes. Kitchens look good, but they don't really work very well. There's been kind of you may have seen this, James, it sort of has happened with interior design and HGTV, but the Food Network and certain food writing or food culture has made the way we think about food evolve. And I sort of like bringing it back a little bit old school, where I encourage people to find a favorite recipe. They don't have to be a gourmet chef, but find things that they like to cook. Take the time to slow down and go to a nice market and pick fresh vegetables, or go to a really good butcher or a fish market, get the best quality food you can get, and then prepare that for friends and families. Get together in the kitchen. It really is the heart of the home. Use it that way. So think about what you like to do, what you're good at. If you're good at mixing drinks, make sure you have a really nice bar setup. Put what you really love to do in that kitchen. And also, I would encourage your listeners to embrace color. I think that it's starting to trend a little bit more. People are moving away from the white kitchen. You know, the white kitchen is hard to maintain. It shows a lot of dirt. It shows a lot of damage. Moving into stains and the warmth of wood, or even the warmth of colors, is something we try to get people to consider doing. And they'll never really regret it. They'll have a unique kitchen, something that they really love because it expresses themselves. And then lastly, the thing... appliances are on they've changed significantly in the last couple of years, and they're about to change again. They are made to be easier to use. And for example, an oven, you'd have to look in a cookbook. It says set the oven to 350 degrees. You wait till it preheats. Put your turkey in there. Set a timer, maybe occasionally use a meat thermometer. But a new oven, you literally put the meat probe in, which is already built in, or it's wireless. And by the control panel, you would select turkey, put in the weight, and then just turn it on and walk away. And it'll send you information on your cell phone or on your iPad and tell you how it's going. It'll tell you when it's done. It really makes cooking a lot easier and maybe a lot more fun. And a lot of the appliances are going this way. And they're far more, appliances used to be sort of an all-in-one unit, kind of like the copier, scanner, fax machine all-in-one. Now they're far more specific. The refrigerator drawers, for example, is something we're putting into almost all of our kitchens. And what that does is it's oftentimes used just for beverages. And so it's in a location where people are gathering. It's usually by the breakfast bar or around by the breakfast table. Someone can come in and just get a beverage, not have to go all the way into where the main kitchen is. Mm-hmm. And it creates more space for the cook or chef in the kitchen proper. The new speed cook ovens, which are replacing microwaves. It's a real oven that has full convection features, but it's also a microwave. Once you put one of these in, our clients say that they don't know how they lived without it. The steam ovens are fantastic too. I've had some of the most incredible meals coming out of these appliances. Fortunately, in our showroom, everything works, and we twice a week we take turns cooking lunch for each other. So, so we have some of the most fabulous meals that come out of these appliances that we get to try. But I think the thing that I want to, having said all that, I think the one point I want to emphasize is that your listeners, when they're considering doing a new kitchen or any design work, they really need to work with a design professional. There's a lot of great information out there. You know, people can find anything on the internet and look at the magazines and all that, but they really need to work with a design professional to best realize their goals. And through the knowledge and experience of that design professional, they're going to achieve successful results better than they could do it just by themselves.
Some very wise words, Chuck. Very wise words indeed. You touched on something a few minutes ago that made me think about kitchen trends. I mean, we're always reading about the latest this and the latest that. I mean, you've just shared some incredibly practical things that are coming down the pike, things that get me excited about the thought of cooking. What's a trend that you're going to be really happy to see go by the wayside?
It's that white kitchen, that kitchen. Same, you know, framed inset door. I don't know if people know what that is, but it's the look we've seen for at least a decade, maybe two, and it's the same sort of very traditional. The English kitchen, it's a look that you can literally get anywhere. Home Depot has it. You know, IKEA has it. It's really reached the end of its shelf life, and I can't wait till that goes away and is replaced by something more contemporary, something that is more suited to the way we live. You know, we have a lot of older homes here in Greenwich, and the exteriors are Georgian or Tudor style or Federal. Sure. But happily, a lot of our clients are coming to us, and they're putting a far more contemporary kitchen on the interior. You know, when you go to Europe, you go to Italy especially, you see how well they do this. The exterior might have elements from Roman times, but the inside Sure. is as modern and functional and technologically contemporary as a Ferrari. And, Right. you know, it suits the way they like to live and the way they see themselves. And I'd really like to see that kind of old kitchen idea. Part of that too, touching on design a little bit, that kitchen had cabinets that sort of wrapped around the perimeter of the entire space. So if you had four walls and a few doors and windows, you'd literally load base and wall cabinets on every single wall space you possibly could. And then you'd place the appliances around the perimeter and try to work with this concept of the work triangle. But what that does is that it makes the kitchen very antisocial. The cook always has their back to anyone else who happens to be in that room. So we try to move these elements in such a way that the focus is changed back to keeping eye contact with the people in the room. There's probably a great view one way or the other, or the way that the light comes in. So we turns people's back away from these important elements and refocus them on what's really important in that space.
Wow. Good thoughts there. We like that. What would our listeners be surprised to find in your kitchen, Chuck?
Well, my kitchen, I had one of my toughest clients ever, and that was my wife. And she is very traditional. So the kitchen has very traditional looking details on it. It's a walnut kitchen, kind of a medium stained color. It has some trims that are very suggestive of a Tudor-style house. But if you were to take all the fronts off and put just a slab front on, you would see that, in fact, it is a very modern kitchen, but it has traditional styling. And I think that was one thing that might be kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. Also, because it was a Tudor house, we did some interesting things with, you know, it had these small compartmentalized rooms, and we sort of made the space flow together. The dining room flowed into the living room. The dining room kind of flows into the kitchen, and the kitchen is central to all those. So from any point in the kitchen, you can see all, you have clear sight lines into all those spaces. And wow. So that makes it very, very sociable. Nice. The kitchen, though, I guess is sort of, there's a very modern waterfall edge breakfast bar made out of hickory, which is a heavily figured wood, and that kind of stands alone in kind of a sculptural way. I think that's kind of an interesting and surprising element. There were some antique French terracotta tiles that I'd been saving for years and years and years, and I finally got to use them in our kitchen, and so those are kind of interesting. It's a very rugged look. And, you know, they're sort of uneven and all different kinds of colors and finishes. That's kind of a surprising element.
Wow. Sounds like a place you don't want to leave.
Yeah.
Chuck, we've come down to the last question. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to throw this at you, and really curious to see what your thoughts are on this. So let me paint a picture and get your thoughts on this. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the Earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
Well, my first thought is that because this is a $1 million decorating, I'd probably ask for a little more money than $1,000. But I do understand the question. And then also, I guess the part that you said no one was with me, I think initially as I think about it, I think about my family and what I would provide for my family. So I'll back away from that too. I guess I would probably, the first thing I would do would be to look for a good cooking apparatus of some kind, a good used range that had some great character of some kind, an old Vulcan or Garland, maybe a really truly antique gas range that could be fixed up, and that would sort of be an element that would start driving how the rest of it came together. And of course, I could cook some really nice meals on it and entertain with whoever might be on that planet or the identical Earth with me. But that's probably where I'd start, something along those lines, with about $1,000.
Makes for a good plan. Good place to start, indeed.
I'd invite you over, James. You'd be one of my first guests.
I would be honored. I would. Chuck, what a delight to get to chat with you today. Thank you for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, James. My pleasure.
We want to thank our subscribers for tuning into the show today. None of this means anything if it's not for you. So keep tuning in. Keep sharing news about the show with your friends. Remember to go to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post a link to Chuck's website so you can see all of the amazing things that he and his team are creating there. While you're on our website, click a few buttons there. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and always most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.